logo, a yellow rectangle beside the text National Geographic Documentary Films. Logo, light gleams on blue letters in a blue rectangle, MRC. Logo, text appears below a fish with bubbles rising above it, Fishbowl Films. Sparse clouds streak a blue sky above a vast snowy plain. Text appears. National Geographic Documentary Films presents, in association with MRC. Two adults and four kids, tiny against the vast landscape, troop across the snow in a line. A Fishbowl Films production, in association with iSteel Film. Subtitles appear.
Is everybody okay? How far are we going? I'm cold. Move your fingers. Laurent, I promise you two chocolate cookies.
They climb a slope, silhouetted by low peachy light.
Mom, can we stop here? No.
The sky darkens.
Let's go.
We're almost there.
The scene goes black. Stars twinkle in the night sky.
Oh, look!
Soft, shifting green light glows in the sky, an aurora.
It's like an ocean. Sky just looks black.
The children gaze up with searching eyes.
I don't know where to look. Straight ahead. Over there. What do you mean, straight ahead?
When you have kids, you just want to imagine everything's going to be okay. For us, we can't hide in that perfect future.
When can we go home? Look in front of you. We don't see them.
The scene goes black. Blurry white text appears and sharpens into focus. Blink. Bright light resolves into sunlight shining through a window. A mobile of origami birds hangs in a room. Text appears. Home, Montreal. Four white kids run around a pleasantly cluttered house. Leo, age 9, crawls like an inchworm. Mia, age 11, bats a balloon into the air. Colin, age 6, sticks out his tongue. Laurent, age 4, slides down a banister. Laurent stands with his head stuck into his mother's sweater. Their slim, brown-haired mother, Edith.
You know, when you have kids, you're trying to control things. So one is possible to... Yeah, you can get control when you have two kids. Three is really stressful. When you get to four kids, you accept chaos.
Their father, Sebastian, Seb. Let's go. Home video plays of the kids at various ages.
Mia was the firstborn. She's an A-type where it's like, you follow me.
Hold on, I'm filming.
Oh my God.
Mia is like a second mom. She tells us what to do and what not to do. No, don't go inside. Yes. Ugh, you're so stupid.
Leo swims.
Leo is totally different from Mia. You can't have more different.
Okay, we're diving in 3, 2, 1.
Looks so fabulous all the time.
Colin makes a face.
Colin, how can I describe him? He's...
weird kid.
Laurent holds an animal skull.
And Laurent.
Laurent is our little philosopher.
Laurent.
Sometimes we play lives of thieves, lives of war, lives that meet friends, lives that hate and love each other.
Boards with each kid's routine hang on the walls of the house.
Life with four kids is never quiet, so it's chaos. There's tantrum, there's a meal to prepare, there's homework.
We're just completely overwhelmed. So it seems like life is just escaping you.
Seb and Edith do chores. Mia reads.
You see each other every day, but there's not much time to connect.
Seb looks at his phone while the kids play.
But after the diagnosis, everything changed.
At an ophthalmology office, Edith waits with Mia, Colin, and Laurent. They all wear face masks.
Our kids were pretty young when we learned that 3 out of 4 have retinitis pigmentosa.
So we have Mia, Colin, and Laura. Leo's the only one that didn't get the disease.
Close-ups show the kids' brown and hazel eyes.
Retinitis pigmentosa is a genetic disease.
A diagram of an eye.
Basically, the cells in my kids' retina are dying little by little.
Blindness is a spectrum, and everyone experiences it differently. But with the condition my kids have...
Edith holds up her hands.
If your field of vision is like that, for a normal person, slowly it's going to be shrinking and shrinking until there's really only the center that remains.
In the office, she sits with Laurent.
Hey, Mama.
Hold my hand. If you get scared, squeeze it tight, okay? Harder. You can do better than that. Try to squeeze it harder.
He squeezes. A doctor threads a hair-thin wire beneath his eyelid.
Keep your eyes wide open and tilt your head. You're doing great. Just blink, sweetie.
The doctor does the same for Mia. Seb sits for an interview.
You have this diagnosis, but what goes with it is that we can't do anything about it. So not only you're numb, but you're powerless. It's just too much.
A red-tinted view of Mia appears in front of the doctor.
Everything okay, Mia? Yes.
The view of Mia flickers as she undergoes a retinal test. Edith.
We walked out of that doctor's office, and we didn't really talk about it. I had dreams and the idea of what my life and my family is going to be in the future. And all of a sudden, the rest of our story is a blank page. Like stepping in the unknown.
At the doctor's, Edith holds Laurent tightly.
That was the hard part.
He snuggles up to her.
You were such a champ.
At home, Colin and Laurent play together in a room with fairy lights. Laurent looks through toys in a bin. Colin touches his glasses, then holds open his arms.
I know that my vision will be big like the world, and then small like a straw. Does that scare you?
Nope.
No. I'll get a cat. A cat for what? For being blind? Of course. When you're blind, you get a dog. The cats for blind people exist? No. Yes.
In a bedroom, Edith stares at an unmade bed. She moves an armful of stuffed animals to another bed. She makes yet another bed, then replaces the stuffed animals.
For me, the hardest part with the diagnosis was the inaction.
She tidies more toys in a hallway.
Because there's nothing they can do about it. There's no treatment, there's nothing. You know, if there was anything and that I could do, like, I don't know, a special diet, exercise, or, like, I needed to get into action to feel that I'm gaining control over that.
She flips through a picture book.
So I met with the specialist, and she said, the best thing you can do right now is to feel their visual memory. She was saying, well, you can open an encyclopedia and look at pictures of elephants and giraffes. So when they do go blind, they at least have an image of what it looks like. That was something really concrete that I can do. There's nothing compared to the real thing. So I said to Seb, let's go see giraffes and elephants.
Stereo photos appear of African mammals, then of Edith and Seb.
Traveling the world is always something that had been on our minds. And we just put the two together and said, okay, then let's do it. Let's do it now.
More photos flash of global tourist attractions.
Let's go all in and fill their visual memory with as much beautiful thing as we can.
Golden light glows on a great pyramid. At home, travel bags lie packed on a bed and on the floor nearby. Mia sits on her bed for an interview.
First question, what are you packing in your bag? A book for drawing, a book for writing, and my school stuff. Will you miss school? A bit. And is anything worrying you? I'm a bit scared the plane will crash into the ocean.
Leo.
Well, I'm scared of being stung by scorpions in the desert. What's your biggest dream for our trip?
Laurent hesitates.
To go to the moon and discover a cabin?
To discover a cabin on the moon?
Wait, and see a cabin. On the moon? Yes.
Seb jogs downstairs carrying multiple bags. Edith packs several small items. The kids' grandparents arrive.
Hello, Grandma! Hello, my loves.
The kid's grandfather touches Leo's buzzed hair.
That's a real travel haircut, Leo. We're almost ready. You're not ready? Almost ready? Kala, is there room for your teddy? There's no room. He's just bringing the small one. I want to bring you, Grandpa. Just shrink me and put me in your suitcase. And then I'll pop out at night.
Outside, Seb shuts the door. The kids race to a minivan and climb in. The family walks through the airport.
Not a good start. We're already lost. Mom, where are we supposed to go?
The kids share a big group hug with their grandfather.
We're almost there.
They race toward a jetway. In a view through one of the plane's windows, they take flight. On the plane, the kids all wear masks. They wave, they eat and watch movies.
When you ask a six-year-old, which country do you want to visit? They have no clue. So we ask them, if you can do any activity anywhere in the world, what you want to do?
Edith holds up a handwritten list.
That's the famous bucket list. The backbone of our trip.
On an animated map, a dotted line travels from Montreal to Namibia.
The first one...
Go on safari.
I think that was unanimous.
On safari, a giraffe lumbers past.
All the kids really wanted to do a safari, so see lions, elephants, and giraffes.
The dotted line goes from Zambia to Tanzania.
Colin.
Sleep on a train.
So he really wanted to sleep in a train.
Laurent sleeps in a train compartment.
Manger de la crème glacée, eat ice cream. Obviously.
In Turkey, a vendor rapidly switches out cones and ice cream as Colin and Laurent crack up. They ride horses on a vast grassy plain.
Ride horses in Mongolia.
That was Mia's dream.
I couldn't dream of a better place to ride. Yeah.
The dotted line travels to Indonesia.
Leo wanted to learn how to surf.
Leo surfs. He bails, then raises his arms.
Surf!
Laurent, at some point, said, I want to drink juice on a camel.
Like, really? Why?
In whimsical animation, Laurent flips onto a camel. A juice box flies into his hand.
Watch a desert sunset.
Cartoon Mia stands on a dune.
See a sunrise on a mountain.
The cartoon family watches the sun come up.
Make friends in other countries.
The cartoon kids stand with several new friends. Then news clips play.
A Canadian couple is taking their kids on a year-long tour of the world for a special reason.
You are traveling and you are homeschooling four kids. I can't even imagine. Where are you guys off to next?
They zip line over a huge canyon, then leap into a body of water.
Thinking about this family dealing with this, I think we all should seize the day.
Wait for me!
Leo runs down a massive sand dune. Then, the kids sit at the edge of a body of water, watching the coral-tinted sunset sky. On the map, the dotted line travels from Indonesia to Malaysia. Cartoon storm clouds gather. Text appears. Malaysia. Edith.
Our feet are going to get soaked, so do what you can. One, two, three, run fast.
In handheld footage from Edith's perspective, the view races across a flooded street. The kids follow one by one.
My shoes are soaked. What can you do?
Seb slips and falls. The scene goes black. Lushlin.
Okay, this one is like...
She points to her mouth. Laurent mimics her and looks from her to the tablet.
E.
Wait.
Yep, that's a capital E. Capital letters are the big letters.
Nearby, Seb sits by a window. Edith looks at her phone.
Once we had decided on our trip, the next step was, how are we going to pay for that?
It was possible, but we would put all our resources in there.
Do we have to rent the house? Do we have to sell the cars?
But not long before we left for the trip, the company Sebastian was working for got sold, and he had shares in that company.
It gave us the financial flexibility to say, we can do this, you know, within our $200 per day budget.
A two-story wooden home stands on a lush, grassy lot.
And that's where I came up with, well, we're going to go camping. We're going to go in youth hostels. We're going to stay closer to people. We're going to stay in these homestays.
A woman wearing a dress and a headscarf greets them. The kids climb the steps to her home.
This isn't a normal hotel, you know. Here comes the monster.
They horse around in one of the bedrooms. Mia lies back, holding Laurent in the air. In the living room, activities fill a whiteboard.
So tomorrow it's the night cruise. My kids, three of my kids don't see in the dark. Not at all.
Their host nods.
But maybe we can do the first one and then decide which one of the two we want to do.
The kids collapse into a pile on the bed.
Laurent! My nose! How many times have you fallen on my head?
Their parents sit quietly in another room. Edith stares off. Edith.
You're like a pack of wild dogs.
She shoots a look at Seb. He shakes his head. In the daytime, a small boat races along a wide body of water. Laurent looks over the side of the boat. He waves at another passing boat. In the jungle, a green lizard perches on the stems of several leaves. Leo brings a leaf toward a frog no bigger than his thumbnail.
Look, it's so tiny.
It hops away. The family clambers up a slope latticed with roots. Small black and silver monkeys perch in branches high above. Mia brings her face toward a tree trunk where a millipede crawls.
It's a millie and one peed.
She and Colon crouch, watching ants swarming over a mossy surface. Seb guides Laurent along a wooden walkway. They ride in a car.
Did you see what stung you?
Nope.
It's important.
Edith touches Seb's leg.
The rash is everywhere. Oh, shoot.
Edith and Seb follow a man into a clinic. A doctor fits a syringe to a line in the back of Seb's hand.
I'll give you an IV. In about an hour, you should be okay.
Seb lies back with his eyes closed, wearing a mask. Edith waits nearby, also wearing a mask. They ride back to the homestay.
The joys of travel.
Edith wears a tight smile.
Better me than one of the kids. That would terrify me. Especially Laurent, who's allergic to bees. Imagine you have no known allergies and this is how you reacted, and you're six times his size. Now this has me stressed out for the rest of the trip.
She glances at him, tensed. Colorful wooden homes stand on stilts above calm, rippling water. Loudspeaker.
May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you.
As dusk falls, the family strolls through a neighborhood where kids play. Small wooden houses stand close together, forming an alley.
Right now, it's only their night vision that's gone. So that means that when there's less light, they lose vision a lot quicker, where you don't see in the dark.
Young men play basketball on an outdoor court. Elsewhere, local kids kick a ball around in open space between trees. Leo stops.
You want to play with them?
Can I play with you?
Go, Leo.
Leo plays with the other kids. Laurent and Colon join in. As dusk falls, Seb, Mia, Edith, and Laurent sit and watch. Leo kicks the ball. He high-fives another kid. Colón stands still in the twilight.
Colón, you okay? Yeah. Can you see? I have a technique. If you can't see, stop, okay?
Colón plunks down with his family.
What's the matter? You said to stop if I can't see. If you're comfortable, play. Try your best.
Colón returns to the game.
As long as you're having fun, Colón.
Laurent stands hesitating.
Laurent, the ball is there.
He and Colón turn uncertainly in the waning light.
Run! Attack the ball!
Go, Colón!
Okay, last goal. Because it's starting to get too dark. The ball's there, Colón.
Mia wanders off. Seb follows her.
Mia? What? What are you doing? I'm leaving.
Hello.
Where are you going? I'm going over there. Okay, Mia? What? Why are you going over there? Because I'm going that way.
He puts a hand on her shoulder. She turns away. Mia.
You said we were doing a tour of the island. We'll see. It's getting pretty dark. We'll see.
Leo picks up the ball.
Leo, let him have it.
That's me.
Kick, Laurent.
Laurent kicks it.
Bravo!
Hey, Dad, we'll see. We'll see. We can't see anything.
Mia faces the camera. She purses her lips in a little smirk, then turns away. Night falls. Lights from the elevated houses glimmer on the rippling surface of the water. Brief lightning flashes on clouds. The family sits in a boat at night. Their flashlight beams illuminate distant greenery and tall trees looming in the dark overhead. Mia.
I think it was maybe when I started school. That's when I realized that I was different.
An owl perches on a tree.
Because other people saw stars and I didn't.
A heavenly body shines in the night sky.
Okay, everyone be quiet.
Mia.
When I'm in the dark, I lose my sense of place. I feel like I'm in space without any light. None. And it feels really strange. It feels like I'm in the void.
The boat approaches the lights of the village. The family gets out of the boat.
So I always need to touch something. So at night, when I can't see, I touch something. And it helps me to be less scared.
A boat sits moored nearby, seeming to hover on the surface of the crystal clear water. In a view from a plane, warm light touches the horizon beyond tall, puffy clouds. In a middle seat, Mia wears headphones and leans over her tray table, studying intently. She writes with a pencil. On the map, the dotted line goes from Malaysia to Thailand. Cartoons appear along with the bucket list items. Cartoon Mia smiles and writes, the dotted line goes to Cambodia. The kids wear Christmas costumes over Angkor Wat.
Merry Christmas!
The line travels to Laos. Number 12, eat with chopsticks. Colón feeds a noodle to Leo.
Here you go.
The line goes to Nepal. In real-life footage, text appears over the rooftops of a city among the mountains. Nepal. Laurent moves along a bustling street towards a bus.
For some people, going on a backpacking trip with four kids is just an insane thing to do. But the only way to find out is to try it.
The family rides on the bus. Number 6, do a multi-day hike. Seb studies a map.
That's one of my items. I really wanted to go hiking several days in the mountains.
We were not sure if it was a little crazy to do that. But we're better than the Himalayas to push the limits.
Leo looks out of an open window. Sunlight shines through the haze around them. A minibus drives along a narrow dirt path cut into a tall, steep mountainside. The minibus jounces along the rough path. pair of motorbikes approach from the opposite direction. The bus tilts precariously. It makes a turn, drawing close to the steep edge.
We're going to fall.
Mia looks out one of the windows. The bus reverses. It forges ahead, inches away from the steep drop-off at the edge of the road. In dim light, prayer flags wave in the wind. Dawnlight paints the sky pink. On a bench outside their lodge room, a cat cleans itself. Inside, Mia sits up in a bed beside Laurent. Edith.
Good morning. You okay? Did you sleep well?
Laurent squints.
Good night. Good night. It's the morning. Good morning. Are your little legs ready for the big hike?
Colon steps outside, then goes back in.
There's a cat out there licking itself. Go see the cat. Let us get dressed.
Colon crouches by the cat.
Cat. Cat? Cat.
He cautiously pets the cat. It bats at his hand. It trots away. Later, Colon holds a long stick. The cat chews on it. Colon crawls toward the cat.
No, it's not for eating. It's for playing. I'll leave you the stick. If you want to play, give me a shout.
A copper-skinned man points at a map. Kata Tamang, mountain guide.
So now we're in...
Jinu.
Yep.
Hello.
We're hiking 9 days to the Punhill Lookout, which is 3,300 meters above sea level. We'll celebrate Leo's birthday at the top.
Porters carry massive loads of baggage on their backs, supported with straps around their foreheads. The family follows them up a steep slope.
Right. 3 times 6? 3 times 6? 18. 3 times 8? 3 times 8? 24. 3 times 2? 3 times 2? 6.
Edith stops to snap a photo. Elsewhere, locals carry bundles of grasses and sticks on their backs. Colorful prayer flags whip in a stiff breeze along the railing of a suspended bridge. The family crosses the bridge. Through the slats of its surface, a river rushes far below.
Oh my God, look down!
They hike past a group of locals breaking up stones. Seb holds Laurent's hand.
We took a wrong turn.
Later, Colon leads the others up a slope.
Finally, we're here. We're not even halfway.
Two men rest by a tree stump.
At least we can stop.
Mia's finger traces a map.
We're here, and we still have... We've barely done anything.
She smiles at a dog.
I'm sorry, but you can't do the hike with us. Can you lift your paws, please? Pretty please? Please?
The black and brown dog, Bella, trots off along a path. The family continues on.
3 times 3? 3 times 3, 9. 3 times 4? 3 times 4, 12. 3 times 5? 3 times 5, 15. 3 times 6? 3 times 6, 18. 12. 18.
The family hikes along a mountainside path surrounded by golden grasses. Bella follows.
Come, Bella.
Bella sits with three of the kids, gazing out over a misty valley. The family continues their hike before a backdrop of majestic snowy peaks.
Don't cut in front. You're not fast enough.
The jagged snowy peaks stand beyond another village. A rooster struts across a yard. The three boys play fight with long sticks, acting out an epic sword fight. Laurent hits Leo, who falls theatrically. Leo play kicks Laurent. Off to one side, Mia performs graceful dance movements. The boys continue their fight.
I'm gonna kick your butt into next week!
Leo swings. Laurent clutches his head. Leo comforts him.
Come here, Laurent.
Laurent drops to his knees. Colon continues the game.
Hold on a sec, Colon.
Time
out! You're my prisoner! Hang on. I've captured you. Colon, will you hold on? You okay, Laurent?
Laurent smacks Leo with a stick. Leo collapses dramatically. He sits up. Laurent swings at him. Cologne drops, grinning. He and Leo exchange a look.
Oh, shoot.
Leo and Cologne take off running. Laurent chases them. Cologne tackles Leo.
No, you won't capture me.
Laurent jabs Leo. Edith watches, smiling and shaking her head. All three boys lie sprawled in the yard.
The sound guy's a hero, listening to our kids all day.
Seb smiles.
Poor guy.
Mia sits alone, picking at yellowed grass in the yard. At night, Edith sits with the three boys. They video call Grandma and Grandpa on Edith's phone.
Hey, kiddos. Hi, Grandpa and Grandma. While you were in the mountains, I was swimming. Do you guys like the mountains? Too high. Too high. I threw up twice last night. Too much information. Did you know they don't eat cows here? Because they're sacred. It would be like eating God. Where are you going next? After Nepal, we're thinking of Egypt. Where's Mia? Mia has a migraine. She's in bed. Poor thing. I think we have to go too because we're all so tired. We walked 8.5 kilometers today. 9! We'll send you a kiss by plane. Say goodbye. Bye! Oh, and happy pre-birthday, Leo.
Bye.
Seb and the kid. Another peek. Edith snaps a photo.
Don't move.
In the Himalaya, I took so many pictures. Like, insane. With very little central vision, you can still see pictures.
A photo of a mountain grows dim.
So for me, it was a way to take that grandness and put it in a little picture for them to be able to see later.
Okay, we're gonna go.
Let's go.
You know, you see all the pictures and you imagine your kids with the sun rising, but you forget the part that they're tired, cranky, it's cold, and they need to hike that mountain.
I'm tired of taking photos.
Sometimes it's not as magical as you imagine it can be.
They hike along stone steps under pelting pea-sized hail.
This is your fault. You wished for snow. Laurent, hurry up. We're not even halfway. Mia, we didn't ask for your opinion. Just stop talking and pretend to be in a good mood.
Leo and Cologne jostle.
Stop trying to pass me.
Leo shoves Cologne down.
Leo, seriously. Leo pushed me. All of this nonsense of wanting to be first and pushing your brothers is unacceptable. Leo, look around you. Was it worth fighting and ruining everyone's hard work? Let's go.
They trudge ahead.
Want to do some math?
No!
On a windy slope, a red flag marks a stone cairn. Edith cradles Laurent.
Sweetheart, you're frozen. Watch this. Take the stick. Take off your gloves. Let's do it quick. My sweater will warm you up.
Mia and Edith put a sweater on him.
Put your arms in. Like this. Now your thumb.
Edith breathes into her gloved hands.
I'll use my hands.
She breathes on his feet and rubs them.
Is that better, sweetheart?
He nods. She pulls a heavy mitten onto his hand.
Okay. Is that better? Yes.
Seb gives Laurent a candy bar. He bites down on it hard.
It's frozen. It's a popsicle.
Seb takes a bite.
Like a mama bird.
He breaks off another piece and feeds it to Laurent.
Okay, we need to go.
They walk in single file along a forest path.
I knew Lauren knew it was going blind. What I didn't realize is that he didn't know what it meant to be blind.
They move along a scrubby ridge as clouds blow past in the distance.
So we were on the road, and all of a sudden he turns on, "Mommy, what does it mean to be blind?" And, like, that question was just, like, an arrow through my heart. Like, I stopped breathing.
Laurent crouches on the ridge, tapping a stick on the ground.
He was only five, so
I had to answer simply.
It's just like if your eyes are always closed. But that moment, I just felt that I somehow ended his innocence.
At night, Edith carries a small cake with candles. They all sing to Leo.
Bonne fête, Leo. Bonne fête, Leo.
I have to blow out all 10 candles? Yep, hurry up.
Leo blows them out. Cologne sputters, blowing out the last one.
No, we even.
Oh. Got you a present.
Leo hugs his parents.
Wait until you see what it is first.
What?
It's just something small.
Leo opens a small bundle.
Mini sweets! We knew we wouldn't find them here, so... Okay, time for cake.
Cologne holds a knife.
Count on Cologne to ruin the party and spoil the moment. What's that, Laurent? I won't see them when I'm blind. See what when you're blind? Mom's photos, because I'll be blind. But you'll have the images in your head. That's why I have to invent a medicine to cure the blindness. And you'll cure Mia and Colin's eyes, too?
Laurent nods.
And if that doesn't work, I'll invent a machine. Because I don't want to be blind. Maybe I'll just be blind for a little bit? No one knows. Maybe.
At night, Leo brushes his teeth in a bathroom at the end of a long, narrow courtyard. Seb carries a sleepy Laurent. Inside, Edith lies beside Laurent on his bed, softly stroking his hair. His closed eyelids flutter faintly. At dawn, tattered prayer flags flap in the wind. In the dark, Seb and Laurent walk hand in hand along a stone path. The beam of Seb's headlamp illuminates the paving stones ahead. Edith and Mia reach out and clasp hands as they climb upward. At a clearing, the brightening sky silhouettes the distant mountains.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look.
Yeah, Mia.
Look, Mia.
Mia gazes ahead, blinking her dark eyes. Bright sunlight shines on the snow-packed face of a mountain.
It's incredible.
Laurent squints in the bright light. Cologne looks ahead at a soaring rocky mountain. Laurent points.
Look, Dad.
Plumes of blown snow trail from the distant peaks. Mia blinks, wearing a serious expression. The family stands side by side, gazing at the majestic range. They tromp back down a slope. Bella waits for them below. Farther down the slope, Cologne sits with Bella.
Give her a big hug.
Edith cradles Cologne as he weeps.
I want to stay with Bella. She has to stay in the mountains. I could stay here with her. You want to stay here with her? Yes.
Leo sits nearby with his head bowed.
It's sad. You made a good friend. You can come back when you're older. You can live in the Himalayas. With Bella and her babies.